Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the Israeli military has been sending further troops into Lebanon this morning and issued evacuation orders amid mounting fears of an all-out war in the region. The move follows Iran's 200-strong ballistic missile attack on Israel last night, most of which were intercepted. And for more on this escalating situation in the Middle East, I'm joined by Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent who's in Jerusalem, and Hannah McCarthy, who's an Irish journalist based in Lebanon. Good morning to you both, and thank you for being with us. Hannah, I'll start with you. We have those reports this morning that Israel is sending additional troops into South Lebanon, warning people to evacuate from another 24 villages. What can you tell us? You're in South Lebanon, aren't you?
I'm in South Beirut at the moment. So I'm here in Dahiyeh, which was struck quite heavily last night after the barrage of missiles from Iran. So we're looking at kind of some damaged buildings kind of still smoldering from last night after strikes. Israel is sending in more troops. They seem to have encountered a stronger resistance than they expected from Hezbollah, who still seem to maintain an ability to fight on an operational level despite the loss of Hassan Nasrallah. I'm kind of looking at several posters of the Hezbollah leader who was killed last week, that are now kind of hanging around Dahiyeh. In fact, they put them on top of the damaged building, on top of all the rubble, as a kind of defiance symbol.
Okay, Hannah's line seems to be...
They're willing to back...
Okay, sorry, Hannah, your line just dropped out there, but I do think we have you back now. I mean, questions have been asked about just how weakened Hezbollah are, but we've been hearing reports that they have been carrying out a series of attacks against Israel. So what is your view there when it comes to the strength of Hezbollah and their ability to respond? Okay, Hannah's line is down. Let's go to Alistair Bunkle. Good morning, Alistair.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us once again on the programme. So I see in the last few minutes that Israel's foreign minister says he's barred the UN Secretary General Guterres from entering Israel. Can you give us a state of the nation, really, situation report on where we are this morning? Because I think once everyone saw the news last night, we felt terrified that this was going somewhere nobody wants it to go.
We started yesterday morning up on the Israeli-Lebanese border because overnight Israel had confirmed that it had started its ground invasion into southern Lebanon. A few hours later, we were heading back south because the news was starting to emerge that Iran was planning a ballistic missile attack on Israel. We then diverted to Tel Aviv because there was a terror attack that ended up killing 6 people and wounding 9 others. And on our way there, the ballistic missiles started coming into Tel Aviv and to Jerusalem. And we ended up stopping and broadcasting with the skies above us alight with missiles and intercept the missiles. So where are we this morning? Well, we have been going around some of the impact sites, speaking to the people who were close to where some of these ballistic missiles landed, asking them what they think about the prospect of yet another war opening up, this time with Iran, when bear in mind there is still a war going on in Gaza. There is a relatively new war going on with Lebanon, at least in terms of a ground invasion, and possibly something with Iran. But, you know, I would say that many, possibly even most Israelis are supportive of what their government and their military are doing now for various different reasons. They believe that Hamas needs to be defeated. They believe that Hezbollah needs to be pushed back. And they believe that Iran is the malign influence at the center of it all.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to what happened then last night in terms of the warning that was given to people on the ground? How alarmed were people when they had those updates coming in on their phones that this missile attack was imminent?
First time I've known those updates to come in on phone. I've been here many years and lived through a number of missile attacks. People had a few hours warning because of the briefings that came out of the United States initially, but then the Israeli military started to warn people that this could be a prospect. So people had sort of started to move back home.
Ah, and Alistair's line has dropped there. Let's go to Scott Lucas, who's Professor of International Politics at UCD's Clinton Institute. I'm also joined by Paola Rivetti, Associate Professor at the School of Law and Government in DCU. Scott, will you talk us through the international response here? I see that there is a G7 meeting being called by the Italian Prime Minister now. But the United States, has Iran's attack put the United States President Joe Biden in a very challenging diplomatic position now with Israel?
Well, Claire, I think it puts everyone in a challenging position, but I don't think that position's changed very much, and I need to explain that step by step. When it comes to Israel and Iran, in a very strange way, what we saw last night is that there were still certain lines that were being observed because of the international community. And by that I mean that Iran let Arab countries know on Monday that they were going to fire these missiles. And the Arab countries then told others, probably including the United States, who of course told the Israelis. And that meant that you saw the air defenses that were ready last night. Yes, some missiles did land, but those were missiles that air defenses in effect identified and said, look, we're probably going to land on sparsely populated areas or in open ground. Those can get through. Because the air defenses were able to block missiles coming into populated areas, you only had two minor injuries in Israel. And the only fatality, tragically and ironically, was a Palestinian mm-hmm. in the West Bank. The problem here now, Claire, is that while the international community will continue to say, look, Israel and Iran should avoid direct confrontation, and I think they will, the United States in particular has tied its hands behind its back in terms of the theaters that are of immediate concern, which of course are Lebanon, as we've been hearing, but Gaza, where another 60 people have been killed in the last 24 hours. And the irony is this, that the biggest victor from what Iran has done is Benjamin Netanyahu, because having been in trouble only a month ago because of the open-ended war in Gaza and not giving the hostages back, he now can not only be relatively free from pressure from the U.S. in particular, but free from pressure from within Israel, because who's going to try to force out the prime minister when Iran is portrayed as the existential enemy?
Mm-hmm. And he has repelled that pressure from the United States. And I mentioned there that they've now, Israel have declared the UN chief persona non grata over his response to the Iran attack. I mean, really, it is two fingers to the international community, isn't it?
Which it has been for almost a year. We're coming up to the one-year anniversary. And again, I say this to your listeners, Claire, not to be pro-Israel, anti-Israel, just simply pro-human, wherever they're in Gaza or in Lebanon, Iran, or in Israel. And that is, when Benjamin Netanyahu in particular and his inner circle decided to respond to Hamas's own mass killing with what is an open-ended mass killing of their own, they were willing to risk isolation. The Israeli foreign minister said last autumn, we only really have maybe 2 or 3 months before the pressure is too great on us if we persist. But guess what? They just kept persisting and kept challenging the international community, saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to cut our military aid? Are you going to sanction us? Are you going to call for an unconditional ceasefire without reservation? Are you going to recognize the state of Palestine? And at every turn, people have stepped away from those steps that could have limited the Israeli military operations, including, I have to say, the targeted assassinations of Hamas officials, Hezbollah officials, including the leader Hassan Nasrallah, and Iranian commanders and officials.
You would wonder what a meeting of the G7 can achieve, and at the same time, we have the UN Security Council due to meet today. I mean, you could argue that they have failed to halt the escalation. So what can be done at this stage?
You were talking in the news, for example, about the fact that the peacekeepers, thank goodness, are out of harm's way, including Irish peacekeepers. Even though those peacekeepers have little effect right now in Lebanon, you don't remove them, because to remove them signals that you've given up completely. So these international organizations continue to meet, because not to meet means you've given up, that you've said, look, there's absolutely nothing can be done about this, and you just rely on Israel or Iran or Hezbollah not to take us into even more hellish territory. But I think, Claire, you only are going to get words. You're going to get words which are going to come out from the international community. I think they will continue to signal to the Iranian regime, look, don't go for a direct confrontation with Israel, because you yourself will be on the wrong side of the international community if you do it. I think they'll signal to Netanyahu, we really don't want you to persist in Lebanon. We would like you to stop in Gaza. But I think Netanyahu will also read into that, I'm the one that's got the military, and you've got slogans.
Well, Paolo Rivetti, as I said, is with us, Associate Professor of the School of Law and Government in DCU. Paolo, what's your own assessment of recent events over the last 24 hours?
I'm extremely worried and extremely disappointed at the inaction of the international community, and I should say Global North government in particular, in stopping this escalation. I think that what happened last night is part of a trajectory of escalation and increasing violence and expansion of it that we have been witnessing since a year, if not even longer. And it was totally evitable. I mean, we're not looking into a situation where we have, mad leaders of government who, act totally rationally. Although, others might think so, but what I'm trying to say is that every leader, every government, every country is, bounded and exists in a larger system, which is called international community, which has laws, which has, regulations and so forth and so on. And what we have seen in the past year has been a continuous and systematic, illegitimization of these common rules and shared regulations that, exist and regulate, should regulate the behavior of countries, in the world. The international community hasn't been able to hold accountable the Israeli government for what the intergovernmental organizations such as the ICJ and many resolutions of the UN General Assembly have called a plausible genocide, systematic violations of human rights, war crimes. There has been, action that, has gone in that direction. So what I think is that what we are looking at now is a situation of extraordinary danger, but unfortunately is a situation that has been, manufactured in a way that has been allowed to happen by the inaction of the international community. And I want to just to add that this inaction has taken place in spite of very clear demands that have come from every people in every country in the world, demanding a ceasefire, demanding the end of the war or the genocide, and systematically being unheard and unlistened to by the ruling government.
Yeah, but unheard too were the calls for the hostages taken on the 7th of October to be returned.
Yeah, I don't know who still believes that this is about the hostages, to be honest. I mean, there have been many, many opportunities for the Israeli government, many offers that have been made to the Israeli government, to which Hamas has agreed to sit down and negotiate release of the hostages coupled with the end of the hostility. And Netanyahu has been systematically denying and has been systematically rejecting those offers. So I think it's really... unfortunately, this is not about the hostages. Unfortunately, this is about an escalation into a regional war with expansion in Lebanon.
And listen, just to go back to Iran, and I know there will be diverse opinions in Iran about this decision to retaliate. But would I be right in saying that the overriding emotion is one now of fear and worry about what's coming next? What have people been saying to you about it?
Absolutely. This is the general feeling. There are very diverse, of course, and different opinions, like it would happen in any other country of the world, but everyone is extremely worried. So my contacts and friends, have been queuing up at petrol stations for fuel, have been buying and storing food and other goods. in fear of an escalation of the conflict and in fear of what might happen in the future. I think that, you know, from my perspective, I think that there's no one who believes that, you know, that actually this is something that will eventually benefit Palestinians. I think that the general opinion amongst the Iranian, you know, population is one of great empathy for the plight of the Palestinian people and the Lebanese people, but also of great, let's say, disillusion and you know, lack of trust for the government willingness to actually work and protect the ordinary people.
All right, Paola, thank you for joining us. Paola Rivetti there, and you heard Scott Lucas as well. Just the very latest coming in on that decision by Israel to declare the UN chief, Antonio Guterres, a persona non grata. He's been banned from entering the country for failing to condemn Iran's missile attack on Israel. And the foreign minister, the Israeli foreign minister, Israel Katz, said in a statement, anyone who cannot unequivocally condemn Iran's heinous attack on Israel does not deserve to step foot on Israeli soil. He went on to say this is an anti-Israel Secretary General who lends support to terrorists, rapists and murderers. On the other side of this, we have the Hezbollah media chief saying in the last few minutes that they're only in the first round following clashes with Israeli troops. He went on to say, we have enough fighters, weapons and ammunition to push back against Israel. And any developments in the Middle East, we'll bring them to you over the course of the next 40 minutes or so. Coming up next, though, we'll have dietitian Louise Reynolds on feeding your family on a budget. Plus, from Chapel Roan to CMAT, why pop is back.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.